You know, besides for just the learning itself, I want to also expose everyone here to different, you know, thinkers, different Talmidei Chacham that perhaps you have not come across in your regular studies. Okay, we all know, you know, Rav Dessler, and we know about Rashi, and we know all the famous people. But so last week introduced, I know that for a number of you, the first time was to hear about Rav Henoch Leibowitz. That's the next person, Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. I want to expose these different thinkers and different people as well. We got the door perfect. So this week I want to begin with a beautiful idea and develop an idea from Rav Henoch Leibowitz. Anybody know who Rav Henoch Leibowitz was? Queens, whatever. So Rav Henoch Leibowitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim in Queens. His father, Rav David Leibowitz, was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim passed away, he named his yeshiva in memory of his Rebbe. And he was a Talmud of Slobodka, the author of Slobodka as well. And his son, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, would subsequently take over the yeshiva in Chafetz Chaim in Queens and turn it into the yeshiva that we know. And Rav Henoch Leibowitz was, and he is most prominent for being a tremendous Baal Musar in the line of thought of the Altar of Slobodka, of real great thinkers and analyzers of Musar and human personality and growth. His Chidushim that he published on Chumash, he had Chidushim on Shas, I think they're called Birchas David. They're very nice, but not as popular as his Chidushim on Chumash, which are called Chidushe HaLev. And Lev is a play on his name, Leibowitz, and his Chidushim that come from the heart. These Chidushim were not just from his Shirim that he that someone wrote after he died, but these are Chidushim that he published in his lifetime, his things that he worked through, his own thoughts. And in addition to that, they have been translated into English. So if somebody is piqued by the thought of Henoch Leibowitz after today, and Chidush HaLevis, these are five volumes on Chumash, and if someone wants something more accessible, they have been translated into Chumash, into English, and are readily available. This is very much in line with the Chafetz Chaim approach of Musar, and there are definitely themes. In a Musar yeshiva, there are themes that come back to again and again. I don't remember everybody learned in their different seminaries, but in a yeshiva, and also sometimes in the seminary, there are themes that the Rosh Yeshiva, themes that the leadership of that institution like to come back to. I'm sure you can all think to your own teachers you had in high school or teachers you had in seminary. There are certain things they come back to again and again and again that become part of the lessons and the personalities that they want to convey to you. So this is actually a major theme that Rav Henoch repeats in different places, but it happens to display it beautifully in Parshas Noach, and I want to share that with everyone. Everyone has a sheet? No? Did we run out? Oh, Baruch Hashem, we ran out of sheets. Okay, good. So we'll have to make more next week, and then hopefully Mir Hashem will run out next week as well. And Lahangil Toru Ladir. So we are on the bottom of page Lamites of the Chidush Yalev on Parshas Noach. I just want to open with the following question, just to put into perspective what Rav Henoch is saying. I want you to imagine for a second that someone has had an amazing Yom Kippur davening. The davening was on fire. The chazan was just perfect. Everything was fine. There was nobody next to you like doing like annoying like coughing noises, or there was nobody next to you who was like davening like too loudly, and the temperature in the shul was just right. You didn't need 15 sweaters. Everything was perfect. You had the most fantastic, uplifting Yom Kippur. And you come home from Yom Kippur, and someone's made, you know, bagels, and you have soup, or whatever it is, and you're ready to break your fast. And imagine for a moment that your father or whoever it is in the family comes to the table after Yom Kippur and just pours himself like a large cup of schnapps, like a large thing of whiskey or bourbon or vodka. Now, is it usser to do something like that? I don't think it's usser, but it is a strange thing to do right after Yom Kippur, right? So, says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, that's kind of exactly what Noach did. Let's read inside. V'yichal Noach ish adama v'yitakar. V'yichal Noach. V'yichal, says Rashi, Perish Rashi, Asa'atz mochulin. Noach made himself mundane, not special. Chulin. She'alola asok tchila benetia acheres. He should have planted something else and not a vine. V'asforno kasav, and the Sforno writes, V'yichal Noach. Hischil bepoel bilti nos. He began with an action that is bilti na'a. And that's an expression we're going to come back to again and again. Bilti na'a means it's not nice. It's not usser, but it's not nice. And therefore, things came from that that he would not be expected to do normally. We know the rest of the story. Ki amna ma'at min ha-kilkel b'haskala. Because with a little bit of kilko, a little bit of imperfections in the beginning, yisavev harbi menu baso, that will spiral out of control more in the end. Kamoshi yikra b'chachmas mehatos b'atchila. If a person begins learning a wisdom, if you started, you know, if you were introduced to math, you know, in first and second grade, and they told you that along all of the multiplication tables, you memorize that, you know, 7 times 7 is not 49, but really it's 50, right? Imagine such a person, they memorize 7 times 7 is not 49, but it's 50. Now, it's one mistake in all the math you're going to learn over your lifetime. It's one mistake. So a person has one incorrect notion about math. But do you know what's going to happen for the rest of your life in all the future math that you do? Every single time you come by 7 times 7, everything's going to spin out of control. And you're not going to understand the next level. You're not going to understand the next level. Everything is going to move. Sorry, can we get the Zohar? Sorry. So everything is going to spin and spin and spin for that one mistake. Similarly, it says, V'yichal mizanos, the people began to stray and go away from Hashem. Says Rav Henoch Leibowitz, V'hadavar tamua, keitza nitba noach al shenata kerem tchila. Why is Noach being held responsible? Because he planted a vineyard first. Hare mevoar v'mefarshim, shenoach haya mechuyav lintoa kerem. What are you talking about? The Mefarshim said that Noach had to plant a vineyard, kedei shelo yayin lekiddush ulenesachim, so he could have wine to make kiddush for the nesachim, for the libation offerings on the mizbeach, for the korbanos, upasha, shunat natua l'shem shemayim. And obviously, it was Noach. He wasn't planting it so he could start a winery out in California and charge $100 for a bottle. That wasn't what his goal was. V'gam kayim mitzvah ben tiyazu. And he fulfilled a mitzvah with this planting. And also, does it say anywhere in Noach Shulchan Aruch that he can't plant a vineyard? So how is it that Noach planted a vineyard and became Ish Adama? Before he was Ish Tzadik, and now he's Ish Adama of the land. And then, what does that have to do with all the things that happened with Canaan and all the whole fallout afterwards? What happened over here? We need to look deeper at the explanation of the Sforno. You're right, there is a mitzvah to plant a vineyard. And also to plant a vineyard l'shem shemayim for mitzvos, to serve Hashem. Mikol makom haya al noach. But should not have been lintoa tchila, the first thing. Because to use the expression of the Sforno, it's not nice. It's biltina. And Noach, who made a mistake and did something that was not nice, that caused him to come down from the lofty and exalted level that he had. And he became a regular person, Ad Sherov Canaan, until all those terrible things happened with Canaan. The Rambam wrote his Yad HaChazaka, his major work of Halacha, and after the Rambam wrote his work, as the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Yad HaChazaka, his hope and his dream was that this would become the final word of Halacha for all Jewish homes, as he would write that all you need is a Mishnah Torah and a Tanakh. And that's all a Jewish home would need. Everything would be covered there. Halacha, Machshava, Tanakh, everything would be there, and that would be sufficient. Now, the Rambam overreached a little bit. The Klal Yisrael did not agree that this is all we would need. We can just look around the room. Obviously, we need a few more things besides a Rambam and a Tanakh. But what we see is that Klal Yisrael also did not follow the Rambam's lead in how he titled it. Klal Yisrael felt it was a little bit haughty. In what regards? Because the Rambam titled his work Mishnah Torah. That this is the repetition of the Torah. But nobody calls it the Mishnah Torah. Either we call it the Yad HaChazaka, or we call it the Rambam. But we don't call it by its title, because the Rambam perhaps overreached in saying exactly what his book was going to be. Now, the Rambam's work is obviously critically important. The Beis Yosef passes like the Rambam in most cases. But nevertheless, one of the Rambam's failings, according to many Mefarshim, is that he didn't quote his sources. The Rambam just said, this is the law. So many of the Mefarshim were developed to explain where the Rambam got his source from in what he was doing. So let's look at what the Magen Mishnah says. It says in Hilchos Shchinim, V'chein Amra V'asisa HaYashar V'hatov. It says in the Torah, in the beginning, in the middle of Devarim, V'asisa HaYashar V'hatov. You should do that which is good and that which is straight, that which is righteous. Now this Magen Mishnah is also kemat the same words of the Ramban on that pasuk. You look up at the Ramban on that pasuk as well. Vakavana, what the Ramban frames the question better. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says, Vasis hayasher v'hatov, you should do that which is straight and good. That's a pretty vague thing. Like, what does that mean, do good? It's like when you walk into the house and your mom says, have a good day, but that can mean anything. What does that mean to have a good day? So the Ramban and the Magen Mishnah says is here, that there is only so much that Hashem can write in the Torah. The Torah can only guide you so far. What the Torah is going to tell you, what do you do when you're online at the grocery store and there's an old lady behind you, she has one thing and you have 10 things, you should let her go first. He doesn't say that in the Torah. But Hashem says, if you've made it this far into the Torah and you made it into Sefer Devarim, and you have not picked up on how I want you to act in different situations, then I don't know what to do with you. Like, then you're lost. So it says, Hashem, I need to stop holding your hand a little bit. I can't tell you every single thing to do in every single situation. So I'm telling you, don't be a jerk. That's what Hashem is telling us. Just be a good person. That kavana. She is nag ben haga tova yishar im b'nei adam. To treat people nicely. I can't tell you every single detail. Because the Torah applies in every situation, at all time, in every single place. Okay, I can tell you how to wave a lulav. I can tell you how to build a fence around your house so nobody falls down. I can tell you all those things. But I can't tell you about every single unique individual and every single unique person with all their different makeups of how they are, of how to treat them. It's not possible. Mavor b'dvarav, says Rav Henech, sheyesh mitzvah da oraisa lenog banhaga tova yishara. There's a mitzvah to act good and honest. Umashalo nichtavu mefurish parteim shal mitzvah zu. And the fact that the Torah does not explicitly tell you what does that mean, v'asisa v'yashar v'hatov, ein ze mishum sheyisurim kal. It doesn't mean because it's not important. El mishum shemidos ha'adam mislachafos l'fi hazman. Because every time, in every situation, calls for a different reaction. The way you talk to this person might not be the way you talk to that person. The way you go out of your way for that person might not be necessary for the other friend. Every situation, every time requires a little bit of seichel to think and to analyze what to do. Let's look at the last paragraph. And here he makes his strongest point. V'hine l'do'aveinu harav. Unfortunately, we have seen. Yeshem anashim asher einam nisharim lisneg ba'ofen hayashar v'atov. There are people around us in our community who do not act yashar v'tov. Ve'inam nimnoi melasos davar biltinos. And they have no problem doing things that are, they're just not nice, that are just not the right way to do things. Mishum shesovrim shema'achar ve'ina davar kasu mefurish. Because they said, well, where does it say? Where's the pasuk? Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch, I can't do such a thing? And that's how they live their whole life. Hu eino elo churma ba'alma u'milse dechasidus. They think that because I can't show you a sif katan Mishnah Berurah, or I can't show you exactly which rabbi said that, so therefore, it's a chumra, it's minas chasidus, it's an extra thing. And therefore, they don't have to do it. Baram. Varhavanu le'el b'meperish Rashi. We see from Rashi and the Sforno and the Rav Hamagid. Sha'af al pisha adavar eino kasubil furish. Even though it doesn't say it explicitly, did it say anywhere in the Torah, Noach, maybe the first thing you do when you come out of the teva is not build a plant a vineyard. Maybe wine is not the first thing that needs to be done. Vim lo yizar baze yinag ba'ofen bilti nos. So he says, gadol ano sofa lovely day averus gadolos v'noros. You can come to do worse things. If you don't have a sense of what is appropriate, of what is nice, then, and that's not your baseline how to act as a human being and as a Jew, then the rest is going to unfurl. So he says, that is not the perspective of a Jew. That's not the perspective of a Jew. That you simply say, well, if it doesn't say that it's usher, so therefore it must be mutter. That's not how a Jew acts. And we want to develop this idea over the next few minutes of the idea of, it's just not nice. It's not a nice way to act. It's not a nice way to present oneself. It's not a nice way to talk. Ah, but who says it's not lashon hara? Okay, it doesn't mean it's okay to act every single way you want. Vasisa yashavarato. The lesson from Noach, says Benach Leibowitz, is some things are simply, it's not the right way to act. It's not an okay way to do things. The yesod of bilti nos, like we said, of simply not being nice, is repeated multiple times in the Torah of Benach Leibowitz. He repeats the same concept regarding certain aspects of intimacy in Parshas Toldos. Again, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, he explains that Yaakov told Esav that he had a little bit of sheep and cattle instead of speaking about all of his wealth with his brother. Why didn't Yaakov tell Esav, I'm mamish like the richest guy in the world. I just, like, you know, I could buy Twitter, I could do whatever I want, everything is fine. How come he didn't say that? Because it's not nice, it's built in now to talk about how much money you have. Does it say it's usher in the Torah to flout and talk about how wealthy you are or drive whatever you want and dress however you want? No, it doesn't say that anywhere. But it's bilti na'a. It's not nice. It's we'll get to the expression later on. It's pas nisht. It doesn't fit. It's not an appropriate way for a person to act. One of the unique features of a Slobodka Yeshiva, which Rav Henoch Leibowitz draws his musr from, is the focus of the altar of Slobodka on the decorum of dress and how the Talmidim dressed. In Europe, in Slobodka, the Talmidim dressed very nicely. Nice shirts, nice pants, nice hats, nice ties. They dressed beautifully. Because for the altar of Slobodka, it was very important to promote the concept of Gadlus Ha'adam, that we are chashuv people, we're heiliga menschen, as he would say, we're holy people, and we need to dress and conduct ourselves in a way that befits being a Bas Yisrael, a Ben Torah, and a Mamlechus Kohanim, a Goy Kadosh. We dress in a way that we walk in the street, we look dignified. That was a very important part of the Musr of Slobodka, to raise the person up, not by telling them they're a Shegetz and they're going to burn in Gehenim, by telling them that you are a Chashuv person and you have so much potential and you need to act in that way to bring that potential out. So the Altar of Slobodka felt that attractive appearance for a Talmud Chacham would elevate the Kavod HaTorah in the eyes of Baal Batim and the self-esteem of the Talmidim. So they tell a story that there was a newly accepted young man who was before his bar mitzvah, who was accepted in Slobodka. His name was Rav Mordechai Karlinsky. And you wouldn't know this, but in yeshivas, when it's time for davening, so little boys, when they need to kiss their tzitzis for Shema, so unless you wear your tzitzis out, so your tzitzis are accepted, I can get to them during Shema, when we kiss them during tzitzis of the third brach, third parsha of Shema. But if your tzitzis are all the way tucked in, so how are you supposed to kiss them during Shema? So what do the boys do? So little boy boys do. Either they start like going in, like undressing themselves in the middle of Shema. They undo their shirts. Or they start like unbuttoning their shirts so they can get their tzitzis inside. That's what little boys do. So this young man, 12 years old, this is a pre-teenager. He was in this chashuv yeshiva, the Altar of Slobodka. So in the middle of Shema, he starts unbuttoning his shirts to take out his tzitzis, which is what every boy does in yeshiva. So the Altar of Slobodka came over to him after davening and said, "We don't do that here. It's not nice to unbutton your shirt in public." Now, is it usser? He was trying to do a mitzvah. Is that to do? Wait, who says I can't unbutton my shirt to get my tits? Doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't say Mishabura. Says the Alter Slobodka, it's not nice to unbutton your shirt in public, even if you're going to your tzitzis. So come to daven dressed in a way that you have your tzitzis ready. That's your tzitzis. Or don't kiss your tzitzis during Shema. But it's not nice to do such a thing. It's bilti na'a. It's pas nisht. It doesn't fit. It's not the right way to act. You have to be sensitive to these things. There was a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach who learned in his yeshiva, Yeshivas Kol Torah. Also in Shir at that time was a young Rav Aaron David Goldberg, the grandson of Shlomo Zalman, who also happened to be a close friend of this Talmud. Everyone's following the train here? So Shlomo Zalman's grandson was close with a different Talmud. So at that time, the Goldberg family, the son and the son-in-law and the grandchildren were living in the same house as Shlomo Zalman. They were living together. So during one of the Bein Hazmanim, the two friends, the grandson and the Talmud, they made up to meet by Batei Rand. Batei Rand is in Shari Chesed, around 4 in the afternoon, to go on some sort of Bein Hazmanim trip. So the Talmud arrived on time, and he waited for 15 minutes. The friend didn't show up. The grandson didn't show up. And he proceeded to the house of Shlomo Zalman to see where his friend was. So as he's walking up the steps into the Orbach home, and he approached the door, Shlomo Zalman was sitting there. He was eating some fruit, having something to eat. He saw the Talmud through the window, and he motioned for him to come inside. He said, "Come inside to my house." So the Talmud entered, and he explained that I haven't come to ask the Shiloh to talk and learning with the Rav. I'm looking for the friend who's Rosh Shlomo Zalman's grandson, and we're supposed to go. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman told the Talmud to knock on the door to one of the rooms and ask his daughter, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the mother of the friend, whether his son was at home, whether the son was at home. So the mother opened the door, and the Talmud said, where's Aaron David? We made to meet up at 4 p.m. by Rehov Bitzal, and he didn't come. I'm not worried about him, because Aaron David's always late, but I just came to see if he's at home. So the mother went back inside to find her son. So suddenly, Rosh Shlomo Zalman turns to the Talmud, and he says, we don't speak to a mother like that. Just tell the mother that your son's always late. It's not a nice way to talk. So the Talmud was taken aback. And he said, I wasn't trying to insult anyone. It wasn't Lashon Hara. It wasn't anything bad. It was simply the reality. Your son, Aaron David, he shows up late. So I wasn't nervous about him. So Shlomo Zalman repeated again. We don't speak to a mother this way, saying not nice things about her children, because it certainly pains her to hear negative comments about her son. And it's built in. It's not a nice way to talk. So the Talmud tried again to defend himself. You know, Rebbe, it didn't mean anything bad. You know, I was just saying it's something about him. It's not such a big deal. So Shlomo Zalman, in his special way, smiled again. And he told the Talmud, you have to tell the mother that he's a good kid and he's not always late. Yeah, that's what you have to tell her. So the mother came back and reported that Aaron David wasn't at home and he must have gone out in a different door. So the Talmud repeated what Shlomo Zalman said. He apologized for saying that Aaron David was always late. And he was only saying this out of frustration because he was waiting. And the Talmud noticed that the mother smiled, and he also noticed that his Rebbe, Rosh Shlomo Zalman, smiled as well. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman taught us a lesson. It's not nice. It's true. It wasn't trying to be insulting. Is that a nice thing to say to somebody? There was no Isser. He didn't violate it in Shulchan Aruch. But it's built in that. There's a way that we talk. There's a dignified, refined, royal way, the way we talk and treat one another. It is a question that we should be asking ourselves more these days. Is it legal? Is it not legal? That's not the question. Is it mutter? Is it usser? That's not the question. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? The question is it a nice thing to do? Is it reflective of the person that I am, that I want to be, and reflection of the Tzelem Elohim that I walk around with? When the Rambam teaches us about the laws of a katan, of a child, staying away from Yisurim, right? A child, you have to stop him from doing certain yisurim. So the Rambam repeats these halachos in three different areas in the Rambam. One is in Hilchos Shabbos, that a child has to be stopped from eating Machal Shabbos. The second is Machalos Asuros, that the child has to be stopped from eating forbidden foods. And the third is about a Kohen teaching his child, who's a boy, not to come in contact with Tumah. In Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam says, Katan shavo lechavos ein shomer lo, v'shaya os al das aviv aval bidas aso ein beisdin mitzuvim lafrisho. The parent can stop a child, but a basin is not commanded to stop a child from being mechal Shabbos. That's number one. In the laws of machalos asuros and kashrus, the Rambam says, katan sheachol echem machalos asuros. If he's eating something asur, you see a child eating a ham sandwich. O sheasa malacha b'Shabbos o beisdin mitzuvim alav. I don't have to stop him because he doesn't have any das, what he's doing. If he does it on his own, it's also to feed a child any of these things that you can't do. And it's also the hagila b'chil Shabbos. You shouldn't get a child in the habit of chil Shabbos, right? We do this thing sometimes on Shabbos. You take a five-year-old, you put him by a light switch, and you say, just whatever, do whatever you want, and you don't say anything. That's being margil a child. That is something you should not do with a child, to encourage a child to get in the habit of Chil Shabbos. If he's doing it on his own, that's one thing. But to have a child do Chil Shabbos, that is a problematic thing. So that's mutar asr, yes or no. But when the Rambam discusses the laws of Tumas Kohanim, he says something very different. He says, Kohen katan hari ha-gadol mizharam shalo yitmo. A child, as we know in Parshas Emor, is also responsible in the laws of Tumah Tara, just like an adult Kohen male. But if the child is going into a tamei place on his own, Beis Din does not have to stop him. And then the Rambam says, "Aval aviv tzarech lechancho b'kedusha." But the father needs to be mechanech the child in kedusha, in holiness. It's a funny thing. Why are the laws of Tumah and Tara for a Kohen have a little mushishrus about chinuch of the child, but by eating treif and by Shabbos, we have no such thing. That's how. But the father has to eat the child not to, to keep Shabbos. The father has to teach the child not to eat usher things. It doesn't say that. Mutter usher, but when it comes to tum and tara, there's a whole shmooze here about educating the children in tara. The Rambam is saying the same thing. There are certain inyanim in life where something is usher, and we can't do such things. And when it comes to machalas asuros, we know we stay away from it because it's bad for us, and we pull the child away if we want to. It's usher and mutter. It's a clearly defined thing. He's allowed to, but we want to, we can stop him, whatever we want to do. But there are certain inyanim where we should understand that such behavior is not an issue of mutter or usher. It's beneath us. It doesn't fit with who we want to be and who we should become. There are certain aspects of being a Jew that are not inherently bad, but a person on a higher level raises himself above those things. Banim atam l'Hashem elokeichem, right, the Torah says, we're Hashem's children. Lo sisgodedu, you'll remember from 11th grade. Velo sasimu karcha bein einechem, lemeis, and you shouldn't tear your hair out. So what does that mean? Banim atam l'Hashem elokeichem, says the Torah. It's not nice. You should be tearing your hair out, making yourself look not nice because somebody passed away. You're Banim atam l'Hashem elokeichem. You have a higher standard. Raise yourself up above those types of things. The Torah is telling us that we're above these types of things. A Kohen means being on a higher level. That's what it means to be a Kohen. A Kohen needs to be mechanech his child. You don't hang out in cemeteries. You don't go where there are dead people. It's not what you do. You're a holy Jew. You're different than everybody else. You have a different status. That's the level of chinuch for a Kohen for his child. For everybody else, mutter asar. But when you're on a higher level, what are you doing? You're a Kohen. You're a holy person. You're special. You're different. It doesn't fit who you are. Oh, it's not fair. Everybody else is going out. Why can't I go out? Okay, you're not everybody else. You're special. You're different. We hold you to a higher standard, right? Aviv tzarech lechanecho b'kedusha. We have to be mechanech children. We have to be mechanech ourselves about how special the child is to be a Kohen. How special the child is to be part of the Jewish people. Only then can we have conversations about mutter asar. When we first understand who we are and what we're supposed to represent, and that it's built in, it's not nice to do such things, then we can talk about mutter asar. We are a mamlachas kohanim v'goy kadosh. We're all kohanim in some respect. We all need to walk around with the feeling that it's not a nice way to talk. It's not a nice way to dress. It's not a nice way to speak to somebody, to eat in such a place, to act in such a way. We hold ourselves to a higher standard in where we represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the things we do and don't do is related to the worlds of Kohanim. We're mechanech children. There are things we don't do because they're bad for us and they're asar. But there are some things we also are mechanech children because it's not nice. It's not a nice way to act, to talk, to go about in such a way. This chinuch of mamlachas kohanim is something that is often missing nowadays. Because we are running to see, where does it say? Point the pasuk out to me. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? And we're running and running and running, and we forget the ideals of that we're special, that we're different, that we carry ourselves in a different way. This expression, pas and pas nish, is something that we could definitely bring back into our vocabulary. Pas means that it fits. It fits with who you are. If it's pas nish, it doesn't fit with who you are and who you want to become. To describe something that's beneath you, it used to resonate with people in the past. But nowadays, mutter asar, that's not, I don't want to hear anymore. End of discussion. But is it nice? Is it the right way to bring out who you are as a Bas Yisrael and a Ben Torah? Sorry, I'll give you one mashal. This is something that we see a little bit more, unfortunately, at weddings and events and things like that. Is it asar for a guy, a young man, for a Ben Torah, a guy who's in yeshiva, to go over to the bar and drink glatt, kosher, schnapps, and vodka multiple times at a wedding? Is it usher? No. Doesn't say when in the Torah you can't drink. It's kosher. Everything is great. Has a good hechsher. Is it usher? No. But why does it need an explanation why for a Ben Torah to be drinking copious amounts of liquor when there's no reason for it is something that needs to be explained? You represent something that's very chashuv. You represent something that's bigger than yourself. It's not nice. It's not appropriate. It used to be that's the way that Goyim behaved. Unfortunately, that way is creeping in to our communities as well. It doesn't have to be explained. It's not a nice way to act. It's not a nice way to talk. It's not a nice way to conduct yourself. As a mutter, as a usher, I don't know if it's so important. But again, this Friday is not meant to turn into a dating schmooze. That's not the point here. But when we think about who we want to become and who we want the person we to marry to be, we need to imagine ourselves, does this person represent a mamlachas kohanim goy kadosh? Is this what I imagined as being a refined, mechubadik gentleman? A person who carries himself in a way that is, you know, that is pas, that it passes. Who acts in a way that's na'ah and not bilti na'ah. These are important things that we have to think about for ourselves and going forward. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in next week's Parsha Emes LeYaakov, and also the Nesiva Shalom in last week's Parsha in Bereishis, so they both explain that Derech Eretz Kadma LeTorah means the following. What it means is that before we can begin understanding the mitzvahs of Sefer Shmos, we have to learn about good midos. We have to learn how to act in the proper way. As being a nice and a good person is a prerequisite for keeping the Torah. But if everything is Vasisa Yashar Vatov, and specific midos are not laid out in the Torah doesn't always tell us exactly what is a good midah and what is a bad midah, so where are we supposed to take specifications and instructions from of how to act in a way that is Yashar and Tov? So they both explain that the purpose of all of the stories of Sefer Bereishis, from Bereishis until the beginning of the episodes and the beginning of Shmos, is to teach us about the importance and the nature of midos, of what is na'ah and what is bilti na'ah, what is the right way to act and what is the wrong way to act. And Chazal choose a single word to characterize the shared essence of all the avos. They called Sefer Bereishis Sefer HaYashar. Because our job during the next 2 months is to learn what it means to be a Yashar. To learn to define for ourselves, what does it mean to be a Mamlachas Kohanim? What is pas? What is na? And what is pas nish? And what is bilti na? To take away from the avos and the lessons of these parshos of how we're supposed to act. Before we can properly receive the Torah, we have to prepare ourselves by refining our midos. The implicit model of the Torah is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. That's what we're supposed to turn to, how to act. The Netziv writes in Zadama to Bereishis that the Avos conducted themselves in relation to the peoples of the world. Even debased idol worshippers with love, were treated with love and were concerned about and their welfare regarding being part of creation. We see this in the pleading of Avram for the people of Sodom, even though he had total hatred of everything they did. But it was the right thing to do to daven for such people. Nevertheless, he wanted them to live. Yitzchak made shalom with those people who pursued him, and they caused him a lot of grief with Avimelech. And Yaakov dealt with Lavan with kindness and sensitivity, even though his uncle was a huge jerk and a big Rasha, but he treated him in the best possible way. These are midos that sustain the world, and therefore, the Sefer HaBriah, the book of Genesis, is Sefer HaYashar, because it teaches us how to be na'ah, how to be pas, and how to do the right thing. So as we continue our march through Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Noach this week, and to Lech Lecha Be'er going forward, our job is to take away how do the avos want us to act. This is before the Torah was given, there was no psukim, there was no mishaburas, there was no halachashirim. The Torah is telling us how to act in the best possible way to represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to raise ourselves up to be na'ah and to not make the mistake of planting vineyards after floods and to do the right thing in our Avodas Hashem. Okay? We'll stop here.